Our first scripture reading for this morning, for this evening, comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 17 through 25. Listen for God's word. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him and one another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one to have never been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Our second scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Thank you, Heather. Thank you, choir, and Earl and Lynn for bringing that music to us. Let us pray. Lord God, the Holy Scriptures are your gift to us, and we ask that you help us to open those scriptures that we have read. Open our minds and our hearts to them. Send your Spirit here to work within us and amongst us, that we might come not only to understand, but to live these words. Amen. Back in January, I had decided to do a sermon series based on the Beatitudes, those verses that Heather read from Matthew that all begin with "blessed are," as in "blessed are the poor in spirit." It was a great plan. There were 8 Beatitudes, and there were 8 weeks before the beginning of Lent. So it seemed logical to me that this was a perfect match. And then I got COVID, and I had to miss a Sunday while in quarantine, which, of course, goofed up my whole schedule. And I had to decide what to do. My choices were to stretch the series into Lent, which didn't feel quite right to me, or to combine 2 of the Beatitudes into one Sunday, but that felt like I would be shortchanging one or both of the Beatitudes. Of course, I could have just dropped one Beatitudes and pretend that it didn't exist, but that would, to me, would really shortchange things. So in the end, I decided to take one of the Beatitudes and preach it at some other time, and that time is now. And the one I decided to move was, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And the logical place to move it was Maundy Thursday worship. So here we are, gathered this evening as blessed mourners on this most solemn night. The term Beatitudes comes from the Latin translation of this passage, where the word beati is used and means blessed. And Jesus, who was speaking Hebrew at the time, probably used the term baruch, which means blessed in Hebrew, and is used often in the Old Testament, such as in Jeremiah, where the prophet said, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord." It's also used in Psalm 118 with a passage that's often referred to, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus begins his most famous set of teachings, which is known as the Sermon on the Mount, with these words of blessings, these words of good news, on which all of the other teachings from the Sermon on the Mount are meant to follow. The second of these Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted," seemed appropriate to me to be used here on Maundy Thursday, on this night when the mourning for Jesus begins. As we heard in the gospel reading from Mark, Jesus himself understands the significance of the night of the Last Supper. This night that we commemorate. The whole meal is fraught with overtones of betrayal, death, and mourning. Listen to the words he uses when he breaks the bread, "Take this, my body." And when he gives them the cup, he says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Jesus then follows these words with a cryptic prophecy. "Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Jesus has been telling his disciples for a while now that this was going to happen, that he would be arrested and killed. And so one last time he is telling the disciples what is going to happen to him, and I expect that the disciples still did not understand, at least at the Last Supper. But it would be only a few hours later that the disciples would begin to understand. For Jesus would soon be arrested, tried, and eventually handed over to be crucified. His body would be broken. His blood would be spilled. His death would come just as he said it would. And maybe it was at this moment when they took Jesus' body down from the cross and laid it in the tomb that the disciples began to understand what Jesus had been saying. And maybe it was at that moment that Jesus' other words came back to them, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Old Testament professor Dr. Amy Jill Levine writes that those who mourn are blessed because not everyone can mourn. To mourn is to say, "I loved this person and I desperately miss this person." A heart that knows how to grieve is a heart that knows how to lose. We mourn when we've lost something. We mourn at the death of someone we've loved. The disciples loved Jesus and mourned his death. We mourn when someone we care about dies, or when perhaps a dream of ours has died. We literally ache with the loss. For many of us, the pain of that loss is so great that it can be debilitating. And so it seems for the disciples, the loss of Jesus was debilitating. And they huddled together, frozen in their grief. And many of us have known that sort of grief At the moment that Jesus broke the bread and passed the cup, he said, "Do this in memory of me." One of the people who came to me at my father's funeral said, "May his memory be a blessing for you." And memories are a blessing. It is out of our memories of loved ones that we find our solace. Our memories might be wrapped up in an object that belonged or reminds us of that loved one, or maybe it's just in the stories we tell about that person. Every time I go fishing, I think of the times I went fishing with my dad. Every time I look at a particular painting in my house, I recall my grandmother who painted it. I think this is what Jesus was saying with these words at the Last Supper: "Do this in remembrance of me." Reenact this meal, and in so doing, you will remember me, and in those memories, you will find blessing, comfort, and strength. But there is more to memories than just recall. How we act is also born of our memories. Dr. Levine puts it, "What we do in memory of those who are no longer with us keeps that memory alive, honors the dead, and in the very actions we perform, we receive comfort. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." The word comfort literally means with strength. So comfort is a word that paints a picture of coming to us in our grief, not only hugging us, but infusing us with strength. In our mourning and in our memories, Jesus tells us that we will find strength, a strength that will come from God. Maundy Thursday. And the reenactment of the Lord's Supper is part of that blessing and a source of strength for us. We are here to mourn the death of Jesus. We are also here to be comforted and strengthened in the blessing of remembering. As Christians, we enact this memory every time we celebrate communion. But on this night in particular, this reenactment takes particular significance. For on this night, we enter the circle of Christ's love in a special way. On this night, our actions become the memories that are a blessing for us. On this night, we find our comfort in all of our mourning. And I hope in that process, we find ourselves blessed as well. Amen.